Now, the afternoon play tells the tale of an unusual collaboration between two brilliant men from widely different cultures who were united by a common passion for numbers.
The Protégé, the story of a mathematical friendship, written by Jan Hartmann.
My name is John Littlewood, Senior Fellow Emeritus of Trinity College, Cambridge, Fellow of the Royal Society, mathematician. I've been lucky, or unlucky enough, to have outlived by some time the participants of what one of them called the one romantic adventure of his life. The collaboration of my dearest friend and colleague for 35 years, G.H. Hardy, with S. Ramanujan. Mathematics is a dangerous profession. An appreciable number of us go mad. Much saddens, but little surprises us. That said, the letter that Hardy received one morning in 1913, totally unexpected, surprised indeed. A wind rose from those few sheets of paper that would reshape the entire landscape of two distinctly odd lives, and I dare say, my own.
Dear sir, I beg to introduce myself to you as a clerk in the accounts department of the Port Trust Office at Madras, on a salary of only £20 per annum. I am now 23 years of age. I have had no university education, but I have undergone the ordinary school course. After leaving school, I have employed the spare time at my disposal to work at mathematics. I have not trodden through the conventional regular course, which is followed in a university course, but I am striking out a new path for myself. I have made a special investigation of divergent series.
Is Littlewood out coming to see you? This letter and notebook has arrived in the morning post. They've been in the back of my mind all day.
Moral is, never read unsolicited foreign mail before breakfast. What have we here?
This is from Madras, South India.
My God. Divergent series. It's from an autodidact.
Yes. Go on, there's more.
I would request you to go through the enclosed papers. Being poor, if you are convinced that there is anything of value, I would like to have my theorems published. Any sympathetic letter from you will be helpful to me here to get a scholarship either from the university or from the government.
This man knows his own worth, but from a first glance, I'm not certain that he knows the full extraordinary breadth of his work.
What do we have here? Magic squares.
Continued fractions.
Quite a number of ideas on those. The properties of both prime and composite numbers.
Partitions, Littlewood. Can you believe
it? What's his name?
It's Rama something.
Oh, here it is. Ramanujan. What do we do now?
Right back to him. Is it extraordinary? Really.
I find some of your equations mysterious and difficult. But they must be true, because if they were not true, no one would have had the imagination to invent them. You will, however, understand that before I can judge properly of the value of what you have done, it is essential that I should see proofs of some of your assertions. What surprised Hardy and myself was that Ramanujan was no reticent petitioner. After a few letters, Hardy was convinced that Ramanujan was in the genius class, but woefully lax in proving his theorems. Ramanujan, on his part, and I liked him before ever laying eyes on him, was as rigid and unyielding about showing proofs as a secret agent protecting state secrets.
Such a fine letter from Mr. Hardy. To receive such a letter from such a man, you have made an impression.
But you don't read carefully, Guruji. Mr. Hardy asks for the detailed proofs of my conclusions.
I've heard it said that there are three formidable mathematicians in England. Hardy, Littlewood, and Hardy Littlewood. We can assume that they are all three impressed with your work, as they should be.
Proofs are not possible.
We, of course, know this, Sweeney.
What am I to write to them?
But, my friend, these are Englishmen. And as you know from all you see around you, an Englishman cannot accept that a mind may leap from problem to solution without a great deal of plodding in between.
It is a gift, Rauji. I wake up in the night from dreams in which the solution is written on a wall in blood. Red figures by the goddess Namagiri, or they are rolling off her tongue. Can you imagine an Englishman, one of Mr. Hardy's, standing, accepting this explanation for my theorems?
You must be realistic, Sweeney.
I shall send him an immediate reply. And do my best to please.
I rather suspect he's afraid that you'll steal his work.
Yes, we'll have to put him at his ease. Yes, how's this, Littlewood? You have in your possession now three long letters of mine in which I speak quite plainly about what you have proved or claim to be able to prove. Surely it is obvious if I were to attempt to make an illegitimate use of your results. Nothing would be easier for you than to expose me.
Dear Mr. Hardy, I am a little pained to see what you have written. I am not in the least apprehensive of my method being utilized by others. On the contrary, my method has been in my possession for the last 8 years, and I have not found anyone to appreciate my method.
Good dude. Good work is not done by humble men. The fellow definitely requires rigor. Undoubtedly a genius, but too many empty spaces.
But what to do? He's proving delightfully intransigent.
Arrange a fellowship. Bring him here.
Nothing was simple with Ramanujan. Everything was as complex with him as it was straightforward with Hardy.
Dear Mr. Hardy, we have not met, but I represent the best interests of our mutual friend and acquaintance, Mr. Srinivasa Ramanujan. I am compelled to communicate directly, though unknown to you personally, to explain why it is Mr. Ramanujan cannot accept your overwhelmingly generous offer of a fellowship to work with you at Trinity College, Cambridge University. Mr. Ramanujan's family and precedents are, like myself, Orthodox Brahmins who have powerful scruples against travel in foreign lands. I myself have travelled and was considered unclean on my return. His family would like to spare Mr. Ramanujan such a stigma. I am confident that your generous spirit will allow you to continue corresponding with the remarkable Mr. Ramanujan.
Dear Mr. Hardy, I am most flattered by your persistence in the matter of my continuing my work with you in person. But there are so many concerns. My English is not what it should be in order to pursue subtle studies. I am most particularly worried that I will be compelled to eat meat. And my mother is concerned that when the English girls see my dusky beauty, as she puts it, I have no illusions about my physical appearance. I am but a small round man with skin marred from early youth by smallpox. That I will be tempted from the path of my fidelity to my wife.
May the man be so lucky to attract a pleasant English rose to his dusky whatever.
Excellent. I'll campaign to get him here as gaining ground. He and his are softening.
How do you come to that conclusion from those two letters?
Lemonugen is thinking a little bit. Money, temptation, diet. He's searching for a way to justify his journey to himself and his culture.
Yes. Well, time will tell. To this day, I've no idea what Hardy read between the lines. Perhaps there was already some communication between the two that transcended paper. This is nonsense, of course. But we mathematicians are constitutionally conditioned to search for patterns. Much later we found out that something did happen, something that allowed Ram to leave his small Brahmin community in peace and with security that he would be accepted back without being shunned. On April the 14th, 1914, Ramanujan arrived at Tilbury Docks. As a mathematician, I'm obliged to see something significant in the fact that he arrived on the 14th day of the fourth month of the year 14 of our century. I aspire to being either a bore or pedant, so we'll leave it at that.
You see him, little.
Very difficult.
I'm not too short for these places.
But short men scattered through a group at random tend to be difficult to find, just as it's difficult for them to see.
Following that logic, the probability of one short man finding another in a crowd is somewhat less than for two tall men. Now, if everyone in the crowd were either tall or short, the problem would be somewhat different, but still a problem.
The operative element is crowd. Once there is no more crowd,
the problem disappears.
Have you considered that you'll be responsible for this man's life here?
Everything's seen to, lodgings and allowance.
No, that's not all of it, Hardy.
Livelihood, welfare. What else?
Well, the man himself. The inner man. Spirit, that sort of thing.
He's a mathematician. Everything's arranged for him to do maths.
Well, even you relax with your passion for cricket.
Everyone adjusts, Littlewood. Do you see anyone that might be him?
Yes. There, Hardy, there.
Yes, yep, that must be him. Yes, I shan't be the only short fellow at Trinity.
Ramanujan. Ramanujan? He's looking this way. It's John Littlewood, here. Not at all, he's walking this way.
Excellent, right, let's get out of here.
Hardy, what are you doing?
I'm getting a cab.
Mr. Littlewood? Yes.
Mr. Hardy?
Yep, let's get you out of this drafty place, Ramanujan.
You will excuse me, please, but I'm unable to find a porter.
They're all over the place. There's a fellow with the trolley and badge. You, yes, porter?
He's a porter?
Yes, Ramanujan.
Oh, that is an expression.
Show the man your baggage, Ramanujan. Littlewood, I'll fetch that cab.
Tell me, Ramanujan, did you ever see Ranjit Singh play?
Play? Mr. Hardy? I fear I know very little about music.
Cricket, Ramanujan. Ranjit Singh used his bat as if it were a scimitar.
I fear the name has no meaning for me.
You don't follow cricket, then?
I'm most apologetic, Mr. Hardy. But my entire time is spent with my slate and chalk. All the elbows and all my clothing are worn away from use as a duster on the slate.
Cricket is an exquisite game of numbers. For example, what is the maximum number of times the same integer can appear on the scoreboard at one instant during the innings?
You are posing the first question we must deal with. I see I shall have to master cricket to make the calculations.
No, not necessary. No, it is very beautiful. The integer is one. One batsman must retire hurt. The score then must be 111 for one. Batsman numbers 1 and 11. Each 11, bowlers 1 and 11.
And so you see,
we can fill the scoreboard with ones.
The question then becomes metaphysical, Mr. Hardy.
No, metaphysics is the last recourse of the soppy Ramanujan. Nothing metaphysical about it at all. It's just a beautiful numerical fact.
But you have expressed a wholesome iteration of a unity.
I can't say that I was thinking of the iteration of ones as an expression of degrees of unity.
Think what the integer one suggests.
The Pythagoreans considered one the indicator of reason.
In which case, Mr. Hardy, such a marvellous iteration of ones is a confirmation of cricket as a most reason-saturated enterprise.
And cricket is the source of all pleasure. Very good. Very good, Ramanujan. I see that we will get along.
They plunged right in. Joyfully, I might add. It was as though they'd been waiting for one another. And I suppose they had. You could feel the current of genius sparking between them. In those first 3 months between April and the infamous August of 1914, the two worked on any number of theorems and potential papers. I was swept up in it too. Ramanujan's notebooks drew one in like Ulysses into the whirlpool. He was clearly in the Euler and Jacobi class. They were besotted with maths. The life of the college, the external world, seemed pale sepia in contrast to the vivid excitement of inventing new theorems, new proofs, new insights in the ever-expanding, ever-extending deep labyrinths of number theory.
I took your advice last night. I read your paper on Dirichlet's divisor problem. Worked Euler's constant into yesterday's equations and awoke in the night with the solutions in place.
Solutions in place?
Yes.
And the proofs leading to those solutions?
I worked them out this morning.
Why are you holding yourself so strangely?
Am I destined to be cold the entire time I am in England?
Dress properly. You need a jumper or a muffler.
Jumper?
A pullover.
Ah, yes. It was so hot in Madras that we did not think of such a thing when we bought my Western clothes.
Summer can be like a green winter.
The calendar betrays me, Hardy. It is almost June. It seems to me, among many strange things English, that these Trinity stones hold the winter cold into summer.
Your mind isn't cold.
Oh, never. The goddess is very good to me. My mind is always at top heat. I have begun a paper like I've never written before, with the proofs carefully worked and explained. The proofs are your direct influence, Hardy.
I am finding that you are a garrulous Indian, Ramanujan. Get on with it.
I will begin, then. The number D of N, if divisor N varies with extreme irregularity as N tends to infinity.
That DDD of N is greater than log of N log 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 N for an infinity of values of
yes,
N.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll go over it, but yes. You took the Euler and my paper on Dirichlet to surprising lengths. It's elegantly done. You are mastering the form. You have extraordinary insights, but you mustn't feel that by providing proofs you're in a straitjacket.
Oh, no, Hardy. I'm here to learn. There's tedium, but also great pleasure in it. Finding all the steps behind what I see is like reconstructing the logic of a dream. I have sent my old notebooks to sleep in a corner.
Littlewood says that reading a really beautiful maths paper is like reading the score of a great piece of music. Behind all is rigorous reasoning.
Behind all, Hardy, is God.
I'm not certain that God is a mathematician, Ram.
Where have you two been?
Where have you been? We've had an exciting afternoon.
I can't believe you didn't come out to see the king. He's never visited Cambridge before. He's also Emperor of India.
I'm most apologetic, Littlewood. I had no idea the King was visiting Cambridge today.
King Edward will be long gone, while the work we did today will last for centuries. We chose the longer historical perspective, Littlewood.
We opened our newspapers the morning of August the 5th, 1914, to read a powerful, simple headline. War declared between England and Germany. Six words, 36 letters. Six words squared to 36 letters. Poor old Hardy. He was a shy man and also a man of great principles. I watched rather sadly as more and more of his time was taken up with defending his pacifist principles.
Hardy! Hardy!
Good evening, Ram.
It's dark, dark, everywhere and cold.
Ram, have some, Ram, some tea.
Brandy, but
he doesn't drink brandy,
but
Hardy.
Tea, then.
There are no street lights.
A blackout against German Zeppelin attacks.
It's unnatural for people to live without light.
Yeah.
remarkable things today. Under the portico of Wren's library, they're laying boards over the stones. Some lorries with camp beds wait, and most remarkable of all, they're installing toilets where the stairs go up to the library itself.
The only thing for it is to get back to work.
As we're already upset, you may as well know that I've received orders.
You too.
Well, you also, Hardy.
Hardy? You cannot go. What would become of me?
No. I'm too small. My eyesight is too bad. And there's I'm told a quality of frailness about me.
They've not found a way to measure toughness of spirit.
Also, I am a conscientious objector, and I will go to jail before I fight this mad cousin's war.
I'm to go work on ballistics.
Even you, Littlewood, won't be able to make ballistics respectable.
To report somewhere odd in London.
Applied maths is calculation without imagination.
I'm thinking of it as being recruited into the intellectual infantry. All that marching through figures to no purpose.
To kill Germans? How can we possibly go to war against Germany? As brutish as they're being at the moment. You're Germans. Leibniz, Jacobi, Riemann, Cantor, Spinoza, Kant. You're German. Our teachers, and we are to sit here, still struggling with some of the challenges that they set us, while our men rush out to kill their descendants and brothers. And, you know, how can that be justified, Littlewood? Ramanujan?
I cannot answer these questions. I do not understand why there is war. Why it makes so much noise in Trinity Courtyard. Where it is exactly what I should think.
When do you go?
A month from today.
And you will go?
Without trumpet calls of duty or anything. I'm called. I shall do as I'm commanded.
We have time to do some significant work, Rama. What have you been working on today?
Some functional equations of the zeta function.
Yes, let's get down to it. I much prefer imaginary universes to this ridiculously constructed real one.
This was Hardy's way. He did not much love the real world. The ridiculously constructed real universe confused Ramanujan like an intricately challenging labyrinth. He never found the stillness at the center.
Yes.
Forgive me 1,000 times, Mr. Hardy, sir. I am A.S. Ramalingam, a member of the college.
Yes, it's three in the morning. What's the idea here?
As I say, 1,001 apologies, but Ramanujan.
Ram? What about him?
He has disappeared.
Ramanujan had graciously invited my fiancée and myself, along with Miss Chattopadhyay, to dinner to celebrate our engagement. As you probably know, he is but a novice cook. But for us, it was a joy to share an authentic meal from our home country, especially these days when ingredients are so difficult to come by.
Yes. Let's keep to the point. Was he there when you arrived?
Yes, and very gracious, too.
Right. When did he disappear, then?
Between the rasam and the ponga.
And you're certain he disappeared?
Yes.
You're good to see me off, Hardy.
I got out of bed specially, Littlewood.
Still your best work time?
Yeah, not this morning.
I hope Ram isn't one to do impulsive injury to himself.
Nonsense. Right, you must write. Keep us up to date.
It's time to be off. Take care of yourself, then.
Yeah, it's safe enough here, I should think.
Telegraph that number I gave you when you hear about Ramanuja.
Goodbye, Littlewood.
Goodbye, Hardy.
Mr. Hardy! Mr. Hardy, sir.
Ramalingam.
Your porter said you were here. I have run all the way. Ramanujan telegraphed from Oxford.
Oxford? Of all places?
Yes. He has run out of money. He's asked for £5 so he can return.
£5?
A rather remarkable sum, I agree. I telegraphed it to him immediately. He should return by this evening.
Very good. Oxford?
Very strange, yes. Very strange indeed.
Hardy, are you in? Ramalingan suggested I come straight here.
Yes, Ram.
I'm here.
paper you left the other day. On the table there. Something about a curious function.
Oh, that! Yes. Very, very curious indeed. Did you look at it?
It's a series. 1/2, 2/1, 1/3, 3/1.
Yes. It continues quite a ways, really. But watch. You will see how curious this function is.
Pencil, paper.
Oh, yes. I do beg your pardon. My old slate disturbs your ears.
You wipe mistakes away before I can study this.
Now, watch as I construct a function that strangely and wondrously exists only for irrational numbers.
You're leaping like a stag, walk like a lion.
Yes.
It's a rational series that leads to an irrational function. Go on. You were at Oxford then?
Yes.
Very strange place to go. You must have had a powerful reason.
It is very difficult to explain, Hardy. You do not have a fire today.
It's not cold.
Yes. Just so. So I observe. Yet I am cold. I'm not cold on my skin. You see, I'm cold very deep inside.
Oxford is colder than Cambridge.
Stones are stones. I went to very much trouble to prepare the meal for Ramalingam and his fiancée. You know how difficult the war makes finding specific ingredients? I used the last of my proper Indian chili peppers that my mother had sent me by means of a mutual friend. The lentils I acquired on a special journey to London. It was shame, Hardy. I could suddenly no longer speak to anyone. I was so cold. Even my lungs were cold. The chilies didn't warm me. I worked quite hard at the meal, you understand, but when I couldn't speak to my guests, when I feared my lips would open and only silence pour out like a black cloud, how can a man like you, who has never known shame, understand? It feels like a fever.
Quite. But Oxford, Ram.
I went as far as the money in my pocket would take me.
Yes. Yes, I see. I see that such a series could only yield an irrational function. Now, hand me the block a moment.
Littlewood's constant. In maths and physics, we have functions called constants, which, like pi, or the speed of light, the famous C in E equals mc squared, is a quantity that does not vary. With the constant removed, hell breaks out among the various parts of the equation. I always felt I had that kind of steadying force on people, hence Littlewood's constant. But I was not in Cambridge during the war. The dynamics between Hardy and Ramanujan became unpredictable.
Hardy! Where are you? Hardy! Where are you? Hardy, I'm waiting for you. I looked everywhere for you. I must see you.
Just give me a moment, please, Ron.
It's everywhere in the bloody darkness. Bringing the wounded in by the thousands, not the hundreds anymore. Everywhere I went. And I looked for you everywhere. Lorries and ambulances filled with men. Men without arms. Men without legs. In the bloody dark. It's like wandering through the middle world, seeing the remnants of the once living.
There's been an unhappy lack of sunlight during this war.
There's no one here except the wounded and a few of us. All the boys and all the men and all the fellows and everyone we know is off to this bloody war. It feels like we're the last two men in Cambridge.
Would you pick up that bloody word bloody, Ramanujan?
I've been hearing it around very much lately.
You've come to Cambridge at a particularly unfortunate time, Raman. I'm sorry I wasn't here sooner. Trinity's let Bertrand Russell go for his objections to the war. There seems to be no room for pacifism amongst the free-thinking gentlemen of our college.
Excuse me, Hardy. I've come to you at a very bad time, it seems. I'm not running anywhere, Hardy. I cannot move. I'm very ill.
German fellow Einstein. What is relativity? It's fiendishly clever. I shall have to revise my low estimate of physicists.
You're very good to accompany me to the sanatorium.
Mm. Doesn't bear talking about rum.
It's long. Overnight train. Some grapes, Hardy.
No, thank you.
It's only Derbyshire. What? In India, we look at the map of England and think, how small.
Maybe you shouldn't try to talk.
But the country becomes larger when one lives here. We are travelling no further than Madras to Hyderabad, yet it seems such a distance.
Yes. Einstein has a word about that, though. Time and space. Space-time, the effects on the body of its momentum. Rum. Asleep? Just like that.
Hardy? Hardy? Are you there?
Still reading.
You were speaking of space-time.
Yes.
I was thinking the death of a person can occur only in a certain space-time junction point. Somehow I should find a way to calculate that.
Yes, theoretically it should be possible.
I've been thinking how zero represents all reality.
Sleep, Ram, sleep. Don't dream it's best. Shall I help you from your chair into the bed?
Would help.
All we rational, analytic, cerebral gentlemen of Trinity, and not a dry eye at the memorial service to welcome us few back from the war, and those many lost, most of a generation dissolved in foreign mud. I was shocked when I saw Ramanujan again. In those 3 years, he'd melted down to the inner man. His Western clothes now hung on him as loosely as any Indian kurta or pajama, though I dare say his shoes were probably still uncomfortable. He was continually in and out of hospital. And Hardy, he couldn't possibly be slighter or slenderer. The constant tension marked itself with grey crayon under his eyes and in the hollows of his cheeks.
Touching ceremony. Impossible not to think about all the men we've lost.
Well, when one is out there, one learns not to.
Yes, yes. You know, Littlewood, until recently, I thought of a mathematician as in the first instance, an observer.
That's correct as far as it goes.
No, you see, these last 3 years, I've become compelled by circumstance to become a man of actions, stand in the crease of life, as it were, and give it my best.
The Russell affair.
In part, yes, we lost that one. Couldn't get him reinstated. It's lamentable. And now I'm swinging away, trying to get Ramanujan into the Royal Society.
Well, now he'll have two power batsmen at each end.
His age, his race, his reticence to deliver his own papers, it will play against him.
We'll overcome all those. It's a new era. And he's produced an amazing number of original ideas. His notebooks alone shall do the job.
I was hoping you'd react with your usual enthusiasm.
What's ailing you, Hardy? How could you ever doubt me?
This war's changed so many people, Littlewood.
Not all of us.
If we can secure this honour for him, it'll give him something...
To live for?
That's not quite accurate. To re-inspire him. He feels that nothing is worthwhile.
A lot of chaps feel that way these days. But they've returned from hell.
Do you know his forename was Srinivasa?
I can't say as I did. What odd fellows we are, Hardy. All these years and we don't know a chap's forename.
It came out when I was registering him at Matlock's. The sister asked for his Christian name. He looked at her blankly. I don't have one, he answered. I am a Hindu.
Is he dying?
Not if he returns to India soon.
Best get him into the Royal Society as quickly as possible.
Hardy, there you are. You must talk to the administrators. I'm constantly golded. It is their policy to treat us with gold, fresh air. It is unbearable. The only place I have any warmth is in the bathroom. I took some work in there with me, but I am so unhappy and distracted, and the food is...
All the vegetables you've asked for, right, Captain?
Oh, yes, thank you, thank you. Some of these look edible.
Taxi number I came in was 1729. It's a rather dull number. There's really nothing I can do with it. I hope that's not a bad omen.
No, not at all. These vegetables are quite fine on the whole. 1729 is a very interesting number. It is the smallest number expressible as the sum of two cubes in two different ways.
Yes, it's a good omen.
Yeah, very good. I've received a letter from my mother. Madras University offers to take me on at 400 rupees a month. Much more than I need.
That means... Then you will be leaving us?
Yes. As soon as arrangements can be made.
The doctors say you're able to travel then.
We will finish our work, Hardy. When I return.
Ram, our work is infinite.
Hardy, you have been listening to me.
You said you've been able to do some work in the toilet.
The only warm spot in this bloody place. They must think to cure people by killing them here.
Show me what you've worked on.
Woefully little. Some new congruence properties of the partition function and a new link between the first and second Rogers identities.
Yes. Yes, it's ingenious. Ingenious.
Everyone, come up!
I must rouse everyone! See this letter?
Shh!
I have been elected a fellow of the Royal Society. I am an FRS. Or I shall go home with those letters after my name. I am an FRS! A fellow of the Royal Society!
If you won't come up, I'll come down, all right?
Fellow. A fellow! A fellow of the Royal Society!
On March the 19th, 1919. 19, 19, 19. Three times. What would Ramanujan have made of that conjunction? Almost 5 years to the day, he sailed on the Nagoya to Bombay. We heard nothing from him for about a year. It is fair to say we felt his absence. A newspaper item, for he was a celebrity now in India, announced his return to India in indifferent health, the implication being that England had infected him. In Cambridge, we settled into the comfortable routine.
Dear Mr. Hardy, I trust I do not need to introduce myself to you again, although it has been many years since we corresponded. It is my tragic duty to report to you the death of our dear student and great friend, Srinivasa Ramanujan, on the morning of April the 26th. he lost consciousness. Janaka fed him milk through a straw, but she was certain his spirit was removing itself. Same night, his body, which had become so useless to him, was cremated. His last year was one of great productivity for himself and, sad to say, perturbation of his friends. Except for his wife, Janaka, he was mentally removed from us all. He worked constantly on maths. And as soon as I have sufficient time, I shall gather together the papers he deposited in a large leather box he had brought with himself from England. Janaka tells me that during the last weeks, he lay in bed, working with his slate, then copying to paper sheets and sheets. It was maths, always maths, to the end.
Your orchids look beautiful floating out to sea like that, Hardy.
I've read and seen a few photographs of flowers set to floating upon the waters to honor the Hindu dead.
It's not as though his death were a surprise.
I failed him, my lord.
The orchids are a message to him?
This is not a metaphysical act, not a religious ritual, little would it. Understand that.
If you say so, Hardy.
Yeah, because I failed him. I feel a physical act to put a full stop for myself is necessary.
You didn't fail him, Hardy.
You weren't here at the crucial time, little
boy. I didn't need to be. And you?
Well, there was an X factor, an unknown between us, and that. If I could have solved that, found out what it was, you know, I'm... I'm not comfortable with personal history. So let it be enough to say that Ramanujan and I remained two parts of a single unsolved equation.
But not unproven.
You take the last awkward little one, throw it in.
Shouldn't you do that?
I'm at peace.
Yeah. Fascinating how the currents carry them all. The blossoms all follow one another, but waywardly. Not in a straight line. Shan't live long enough to see those irregular flows captured by numbers.
Shan't live long enough to see all of Ramanujan's theorems tested.
I wonder if he found zero.
Tosh.
Ramanujan was prodigious. Prodigious.
Ramanujan never left Hardy. Oh, I'm not being soppy, mind you. Even Hardy would admit till the day he died in 1947 that Ramanujan's impression was indelible. Time has shown that he was one of three prodigious number theorists of all time. The 18th century Swiss, Euler, the 19th century Jacobi, our century's Ramanujan. In 1936, Hardy was obliged to give some lectures at Harvard University. His subject, of course, Ramanujan.
In The Protégé by Jan Hartmann, the part of Srinivasa Ramanujan was played by Shiv Grewal, G.H. Hardy, Julian Ryan Tutt, and J.E. Littlewood, Alex Jennings. The part of Rao was played by Rashid Karapiet, and Ramalingan was played by Amit Janna. The music was composed by Felix Cross. The Protégé was directed by Christine Landon-Smith, and is a Catherine Bailey production for BBC Radio 4.